to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 197. We are only three episodes away from 200. Isn't that crazy?
That's totally crazy.
I think a couple of podcasts ago, we were wondering if we would be out of lockdown before we hit 200, and I'm not really sure.
I don't think we'll be out of lockdown.
Seeming less likely, isn't it?
I mean, I guess it depends on how you define lockdown. We're home from school and work.
The pandemic won't be over, I think, is probably an easy thing to say.
No.
Yeah.
They're starting to open up some stuff, but like, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference for us. I think we're still staying home.
One big announcement that was made this week is Governor Abbott, the governor of Texas, announced that schools would be closed through the end of the school year. And when I found it out, I was sitting at the kitchen table on my laptop doing some work. And I called over to the boys and said, hey, guess what? School's out for the rest of the year. And they were like,
yeah,
figures.
We figured.
Figures.
We thought so.
It was not a surprise to our boys. It seems like that's going to be the case for nearly everywhere in the country. There may be a couple of places where they say, you know, schools might be able to come back. But for the most part, it looks like kids are not going to get back to school before it opens for the summer.
It doesn't
closes
seem
for
like
the
it.
Summer.
Well,
opens,
most,
closes.
Wouldn't most places be almost out of school anyway?
By when?
Well, by like late May, anyway.
Yeah. It's like two-thirds of the way through April right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, do you bring kids back? If you can bring them back, do you bring them back just for the month of May? I don't know. Doesn't seem like anywhere is really near the point where they can just say, oh, everything's great. We're fine. We're out of the woods. Mm. Everybody come back. Just do what you were doing before.
No.
Yeah, especially not New York. New York is scary right now.
Yeah, I think any place that has like a big density, like lots of people,
like
big cities seem to be hit the worst with this because it's contagious.
But like,
there's just no way to control it.
Especially New York, like, okay, mainly the state of New York, actually, like, I looked at like coronavirus per state and New York had like a lot more than whatever is in second place. I can't actually remember what was in second place.
It's got to
be Washington's really
most
big. California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New Orleans, that area. Southern Florida. There's lots of places.
But as far as like population density, New York City's probably, it's got to be the most dense city in America, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And New York City is for sure the most highest density, especially like Manhattan.
That seems about right.
Yeah. I mean, there are other big cities like Los Angeles and Chicago.
But Los Angeles feels a lot more spread out.
Yeah, for sure. But boy, we're just diving into the light topics like the pandemic.
Fun.
Yeah. New York has more cases than a lot of countries.
Yeah.
Like most countries. I think it might be like the second. If it were a country, it would be like the second most after the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I hear.
But it's also, I mean, population-wise, it could be its own country.
Yeah. I mean, it's bigger than like Vatican City or Luxembourg.
No, Vatican is very tiny.
Yeah.
Very tiny.
Yeah. So no more school this year. Another big thing that happened for the boys is they got their hair cut for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, Mom.
Oh, I was just waiting for them to say, you know, to shower me with praise and
you did a good job. Well, I gotta
gratitude.
Say.
Yeah,
I will say you did a good job.
Oh, good, good. I had not cut their hair for many, many, many years. When they were little, I used to do it. You know, not always, but a lot.
That.
Yeah,
I had to dust off the hair clippers.
Thank you for dusting off the hair.
Find them like way in the back of the medicine cabinet where they had been. Long
for
forgotten almost.
Years.
Yeah. But yeah, I got it done and you look pretty good.
Yeah, the boys are looking pretty good. My hair is looking really long and scraggly.
Although,
yeah,
I may have to get the hair cut too.
Although Mom actually only cut our sides, so the top of her hair is still pretty thick.
Still kind of long, but not, that's, you know, normally it's really short on top. So it looks good. Mm-hmm.
The last time you got it cut, they cut it very short on top too. So the top wasn't
just looks normal now.
And I did kind of trim your bangs a little bit and blend it, and It was fine. It was fine.
Yeah, apparently, Henry, do you know what a Flobee is?
No.
The Flobee is making a comeback. Oh no. The Flobee was like this thing that they sold on TV back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And it was like this attachment. You put it on your vacuum, and it would suck your hair into the vacuum tube and cut it to different lengths depending on which attachment you used.
That sounds like a vacuum hair cutting machine.
And apparently, it's made a comeback. Like, people, apparently, you can still buy them, but they're all sold out because people are like, what I need now during the pandemic is a Flobee.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, I kind of envy the people who have stylists in their family.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if I, like, was an actual trained professional? Mm-hmm. And that was the whole time I was cutting your hair. You went first because you're brave.
I mean, you told me to go first.
Because William looked like he was going to be a little bit worried. He was balking. So I was like, look, it's not a big deal. Put you on the bar stool in the kitchen, put a tablecloth around you, and went for it. And
before the Flobee, only a skilled professional could produce a good layered haircut. Tens of thousands have been sold to satisfied customers. Why? Because it really works.
Proper suction is the key to getting great-looking haircuts with no cleanup.
This is the TV commercial for the Flobee. Yeah, it just sucks your hair right up.
Like, you know what, though? Okay, that's not such a bad concept.
Can you pause? Like, if it actually works, that's incredible. But also, like, it looks so weird. Like,
yeah,
it's like you attached so a vacuum tube with, like, a weird thick paint. Or, like, one of those, like, paint brushes that you use to, like, paint a wall.
Yeah.
And then you, like, stuck it on your head.
I will say, if it works the same as the clippers do, but it just cleans up the hair, that alone is, like, a major plus, I think. Because the hair everywhere is really annoying.
This ingenious device lets you give yourself and family perfect haircuts every time. Tens of thousands have been sold to satisfied customers. Why? Because it really works.
That's the Flobee. Believe it or not, you have an uncle who has a Flobee and uses it.
Well,
and has used it for years.
I don't know if he still uses it. He used to use it. He did for a long time.
Yes.
Uncle Steve. You have two Uncle Steves, but... Not my brother Steve, but my sister's husband Steve.
Mom's brother-in-law.
Wait, you have uncles. Yeah. You have so many uncles with the same name. It's just funny.
Yeah.
Two Uncle Jeffs, two Uncle Steves.
Do you have Steves on the same side?
Yes, because one is married to my sister and one is my brother.
But the nice thing about the Flobee is, and this is what your Uncle Steve used to do before he got married, is he could just give himself a haircut. Just put the little attachment on there, cut his hair.
I'm not sure it was good. I'm not sure it was before he got married. We'll have to ask him about it.
Maybe it was after. I don't know. Maybe it was before and after.
If he still has it, then he is in really good shape right now because it's what everybody wishes they had.
He had one.
It's so funny, though. It's so funny to like watch the infomercial.
And guess who's laughing now? He is.
If I had one, I would have used it.
I imagine he would be laughing now.
Yeah. You know, it's something I was thinking the other day is... Which article of clothing do you think I use the least now that we're in the pandemic?
A tie.
Probably true. But that's not what I was thinking of. I was thinking, hardly ever wear socks.
That's fair.
Like, I occasionally put on socks to go for a walk, but then as soon as I get home, I take them off.
I mean, I do wear them every day, but not as much.
I feel like I could use the same pair of socks, like, all week long if I could. Now, I don't, because for some reason it feels like each day needs a different pair of socks.
Yeah.
But
well, if you're the boys, each time you put your shoes back on, you get a new pair of socks. I don't think they're using
That's
any
not
fewer
always
socks.
I still have my socks on, and I went outside like a while ago.
It's really good weather. I would not be wearing socks if I were you. I would just put on my slides and call it good.
But sometimes That's I fair. Feel like, you
but
know.
But I was skating.
I could just take them off, roll them up, and set them by my shoes. And then each time I want to put on my shoes, I just put the same pair of socks on.
I think that's fair.
I do it during a day, but I can't bring myself to do it day after day.
Hmm. Well, plus you're actually, like, when you wear them, you're going for walks.
Yeah.
And maybe getting sweatier than you would if you were just, like, wearing them for an hour, like, in the middle of the house.
But I'm not wearing them all day long. Like, you know, on a normal work day, I would put them on in the morning, and I wouldn't get to take them off until at least after I get home. believe it or not, I don't take my socks off at work. So I'm just like sitting there at my desk with my bare feet. I do take my shoes off at work. Like when I'm at my desk, a lot of times I'll take my shoes off and people will be like, so you took your shoes off. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
I just feel more relaxed with my shoes off.
You gotta keep your socks on there.
But you gotta take your, if you take your shoes and your socks off, that's just crossing a line that should not be crossed.
By the way, speaking of relaxation and weird things, I guess, we also got a yoga ball for the computer desk.
Oh, yeah. We got two yoga balls.
Oh, yeah, we got two. And I blew them both up.
Thank you.
I think they need to be inflated just a little bit more. Maybe maybe they're fine for you, but when I get on it, I'm just like,
that's fair.
Probably at least 6 inches too close to the ground. Like maybe they require more air for me than they do. Well, I'm sure.
Well, but also they're kind of deflated.
They're a little bit, they're a little bit low. But I got those, I actually got those when I ordered toilet paper from Walmart.com. Not the Walmart grocery, but Walmart.com, because that was the only place I could find it for a while. And it took a month to arrive. And now, you know, there is a little bit of toilet paper in stores where we are.
Yeah, I went shopping yesterday to get some milk and a few other things just to, you know, get going to the grocery store. And they didn't have it on the shelves, but they had like in the middle of the aisle, they just had like some boxes piled up and you could like open a box and get some toilet paper out of it.
So you did.
Yeah. So the toilet paper doomsday clock, we can set it back to about 8:30.
I think even like 6. I'm not concerned
maybe,
about toilet
maybe
paper right now.
7:30.
I have no toilet paper anxiety.
Yeah,
right
we're
now.
Doing pretty good. We've got lots of toilet. Not, I wouldn't
we
say
have,
lots.
We have
but
enough.
We've got enough. We've yes. got a sufficient for our needs.
Yes, we're good. Yes. We're good for toilet paper. We haven't been like hoarding it or anything, but we have enough toilet paper.
And we have enough paper towels too, in case we run out of toilet paper.
Yeah. Anyway, I needed some other things for free shipping. And I had been thinking about getting yoga balls anyway, because you guys have been in front of the computer so much doing online school. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe that would be a little bit better for you.
Also, the chair's kind of busted up right now.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, once we got the yoga balls and like put them at the desk, and then we like moved the chair to the side. And then since Maisie liked getting on there, now she just has it all to herself.
I know. She likes it up there.
It's her very own chair. And she can look out the window. She hops
no
up on the chair.
Using it. It's officially her chair.
I think it probably is time for a Maisie update. There's always that last
bark.
Woof, that last bark. Mm-hmm. Maisie is enjoying the chair. You know what's? There's something weird going on with Maisie right now, though. I don't know if you know about this. I've been trying to take her for walks, and usually she loves to go for walks. Like, she gets super excited. But there's something weird going on. I think she needs, like, a dog psychologist, because I'll take her for a walk, and she gets kind of... Sometimes she's a little nervous, but I can usually get her excited to go for a walk. And then she goes out the door, and she goes over to the grass and does her business. And then she wants to go immediately back in. Like, she gets, I don't know if she's scared or
not
what.
Not only that, but she's not.
She doesn't want to walk around the neighborhood.
Not only that, but like she's had opportunities to escape lately. And she is so good at escaping. And she used to just dart for the door, like from clear across the house. And like, she was so fast.
Yeah.
And she would just take us, you know.
We've talked about that before, where we have to run after her through the whole neighborhood. But
yeah, but there have been a couple of times
like,
that we've like forgotten
about an
and left
hour
the door
ago,
open.
Like, yeah. After William came back from biking, like, he accidentally left the gate open. So, like, later, I let Maisie out, and then she did the thing where she went immediately back in. That's just something she does, like, always.
Right. But the back but gate was
the gate was
open.
So, I don't know what's going
now,
on.
But
maybe she knows there's a pandemic, and she heard that people's pets are starting to get tested positive.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think she's spooked by something.
I think she's
seen too many dogs.
But... Usually she gets excited when she sees dogs and she wants to go bark at them.
I think she's scared of them and starts barking.
Well, yeah, I think
why
that's true,
suddenly
but,
be scared?
But it's weird. Like, and I noticed it the first time a couple days ago when I took her for a walk and I started walking and like, I thought maybe she wanted to go the other direction because she like turned around and I was like, Maisie, let's go this way. She's like, and she just wanted to go the other direction, but it was like toward the house. I thought maybe she wanted to go the other direction. And I was like, well, this is really strange. And she like wouldn't, I was trying to pull her and she wouldn't go. She was like just standing her ground. Mm. And I like walked over and picked her up and like walked her over and like held her and over to the corner of the street and around the corner. And then I put her down and she would kind of walk when she couldn't see the house. But she did that thing where, like, sometimes when you're walking past a house, she'll, like, go up the walk, like, well, let's go in this house. I want to be done with my walk. Like, mm-hmm. It was very strange. I don't know what's going on with her. If anyone who's listening to this knows anything about, like, dogs that are suddenly don't want to go on walks, let me know.
I think she just might not be feeling it.
It's very strange, though. Like, usually she loves to go for walks.
She acts like she's spooked.
Yeah, like, Mom and I were getting ready to go for a walk, and she could tell, like, we were getting ready to go for a walk, and she was, like, up on her perch on the couch and kind of shaking a little bit. Like, you could tell she was worried we were going to take her for a walk.
And usually it's the opposite. Usually she sees us heading for the doors with our shoes on.
And gets really excited.
And she jumps up and goes and stands by the door like, you can't get through me. I mean, you have
that
to take me with you.
Doesn't always happen, to be fair.
It happens a lot until...
Especially if you suggest you might be taking her for a walk. She gets really excited. But now, I don't know. There's something going on in her little doggy brain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is.
She's afraid of something, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't think she's afraid of anything. Unless it's other dogs.
Because
there's
a lot of
dogs being walked right now because of the pandemic.
And that's true. And sometimes that's why I like to usually when I do take her for a walk, I like to take her early in the morning before everyone else has taken their dogs out. Because she does get really worked up when she sees dogs. But usually it's like she's worked up, but she's also kind of excited.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree she's kind of afraid, but she's also kind of excited. And it's exciting that she can be out of the house barking at dogs.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I do know one thing that's going on. There's a lot of baking going on. A lot of sourdough baking. We talked about that last podcast, and Henry made his first loaf of sourdough.
Yep. And because I kept on... So recently, Dad's been like carving designs in his sourdough, and for some reason, he just refuses to like write his name in it. So when I made it, I did write my name in it, and it mostly worked. So, like, the E was a bit split apart.
Henry, like on a razor blade... With a razor blade on the bread before it went in the oven. And it kind of worked. You could kind of see it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it kind of cracks.
Yeah.
So that's usually, like, I'll do a design so that it, you know, it kind of looks pretty and I don't know. It's a pretty common thing for sourdough, but Henry said Henry on it.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty cool. And it's really good bread. We actually ate it today. We did some grilled cheese sandwiches with tomato soup.
That was really good.
And
really good
sourdough
bread.
Makes excellent grilled cheese sandwiches, I gotta say.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
And yours was really good. Mm-hmm. You did a good job. Our sourdough is kind of getting out of control.
The starter.
I fed it this morning and then I kind of forgot about it.
Oh.
And when we got home from shopping, I looked over it and it was like starting to explode out of the jar.
Like, yeah.
Like the lid was on it and it was like, exploding.
Before you left, but I'm guessing after you fed it, like I could hear it like making like almost like a little like
a
buzzing
hissing
noise.
Sound. Oh,
yeah.
Really? Yeah. And then I kind of loosened the lid and it like totally like, what's the word? Glooped over.
It bubbled over. It bubbled over.
We need to like donate some.
Yeah. I took a picture of it. I'll post it on the Talk to Dad Instagram and
the video
Twitter.
Is good.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I'll also post a picture of Henry's sourdough. It was very delicious and beautiful.
Yeah.
So good job with your sourdough. It's pretty good that your very first sourdough loaf turned out like pretty much perfect.
Yeah.
Very good.
Way to go. Other things that are going on. Probably the cutest thing I saw all week long was Elizabeth's baby bird.
Yeah. So I think she was like taking a walk or something and she like communicated with us through the group chat about this. And she said that she like found a baby bird next to, I think it's father. And she said she moved it out of the way or something, but she never specified what.
It was like in the way of, I don't know, was it like oncoming bike traffic or something?
She didn't say.
And anyway. It was just in the middle of the road. So she like picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and this was all over the family group chat, but she said that it like... As soon as she picked it up, and let me see, she just settled down like, oh my bad, you're just a tree.
And
it's a really funny looking bird. Maybe I will see if I can post a picture of that as well. It's really funny, but it's really cute. Like, ugly. Apparently it's a cardinal because the mommy or daddy cardinal, I think it's the daddy because it was bright red, she said, came and looked after it. And it was bright red, but this, and mom Googled some pictures of baby cardinals, and this is what they look like. They look really strange. Here's the video.
They're hilarious.
That you can't see, but at least you can hear it.
It is cute.
Video's and the sound it makes sounds is cute. Really cute.
Why does this take so long? Okay.
So we found this little baby bird. Hi.
It's really cute.
It's just the best video. It's better so with the video, so I'm guessing you're going to post that.
I'll see if I can. I don't know if I can, but maybe I can get it. I don't know if I can download this from the family chat, but maybe I can.
Probably.
Oh, save. Yes, I'm saving it.
Yes, you can.
So hopefully I can show that as well. But it is really adorable, really cute, mm-hmm. and really funny looking.
It's a baby.
It's the funniest looking little cardinal. Bird.
Baby cardinal.
Yeah, we've been seeing lots of cardinals around. I don't know, like sometimes, I guess there's always just tons of birds around us all the time, but we don't go out and see them. And there's like more car traffic, so you don't notice it as much. But it just seems like there's so many birds this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think because normally we're just in our house and we're not walking around the neighborhood and noticing all the birds.
Which I find it weird that like a stay at home order makes us walk around more.
Yeah. I noticed, I went to Walmart today to get William a new bike helmet. So I went back to the bike section and like all the bikes were sold out.
Mm-hmm.
So people are buying bikes because that's one of the things you can do when you're at home is you can bike around your neighborhood. So
and with all the gyms closed.
Bikes are selling like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed that I was trying to buy some 5-pound dumbbells online and like they were sold out everywhere. You could get 1/2 pound, but I thought like, why? I don't know. I guess like you could strap them to your arms while you walk or whatever, but I was like, nah. I'm not going to get 1/2 pound dumbbells.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. The other thing I noticed when we were out today. So mom and I went, where did we go? We went to a park.
Mm-hmm.
A really nice park, not too far from us.
Walking trails.
It was somewhat crowded, which made us a little nervous. We almost didn't stop there because there were kind of a lot of people there. We walked around a walking trail and.
Avoided people. We walked off the trail. Trying to
avoid people as best as we could.
We walked off the trail several times.
And then we went to Trader Joe's. Got some food at Trader Joe's. We went to Walmart, as I mentioned a minute ago. And the thing that I noticed, so I would say most people, maybe like 75, 80% of everyone are pretty good about, you know, the whole social distancing, giving people their space, wearing some sort of face covering or mask. But then there's like 15 to 25% of people who seem like they really don't care. Like,
yeah.
They just don't. They'll just walk right past you and they're like, I don't care. And so that's really weird. I feel like that just sort of defeats the whole purpose of this whole social
distancing. I was
kind of
shocked when we were at Trader Joe's. Like I was just standing in the produce section, like not like in the middle of the aisle or anything, but over by the fruit. And there were a couple of ladies and they came in wearing masks and everything. So I thought, you know, they'd be fine, but like they got so close they actually touched me and I kind of did this like I kind of jumped. I was like, whoa, that's
and
really
there are
weird.
Signs everywhere inside the stores telling you like social distancing, keep 6 feet from everyone, but some people I don't know if they're just clueless or they just don't care. It's
also
really weird.
You guys mentioned that you're gonna bring home Andy's, but
oh,
but
frozen
from what
custard.
I've heard.
Yeah, so there's a frozen custard place that's really close to our house, and every once in a while we get a craving for it, and it's still open because frozen custard is an essential business.
Apparently,
yeah. It is essential for
people
to
might
have their frozen custard
if they don't have their frozen custard.
So they can be open, and there's no. It's not an indoor restaurant, so there's no seating. So you either walk up and order it from a window, or you drive through. So, you know, there's no real problem with them being open, but we went the other day to get some and we hadn't done it since I think like the first day we got home from Italy.
Mm. No, we didn't go the first day that we got home from Italy because we were during
we
the
did.
14-day quarantine. It
oh,
was
yeah.
it was the day that
oh,
we came
the day we
out,
got
of
out
of
quarantine. You're right. You're right. That's right.
So it was 2 weeks after we got home from Italy.
2 weeks after we got home from Italy. But we went to go get some. We were just sort of craving one. And it was a weekend and, you know, sometimes you feel like you need to do something special for the weekend.
Right. So Dad and I were having a date night, and we thought
we'll just go get, we'll just drive through. We'll be very careful. We'll use lots of hand sanitizer. We'll get some ice cream, bring it home. So we told the boys we were going to bring some home, but we went there and there was the longest line there. And I was like, holy cow. There was like a big crowd in front of it. And the drive through was like crazy busy.
Like out into the street.
Part that's the worst, at least to me, like, is the big crowd. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, the crowd of people standing at the walk-up window.
Are you really that desperate for Andy's? So we actually ended up getting Oreo McFlurries.
Yeah, so there's a McDonald's right next to it, so we drove through the McDonald's.
It's still pretty high quality, and they had less business, and there weren't gigantic crowds.
Yeah. So we did that instead. Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy times. It's so weird to think about, like... on the way home, I was telling Mom, like, someday we're going to think of this as, you remember the pandemic? That was really weird.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to look back on it like, boy, that was a strange time.
It's all these things that are, like, suddenly that everybody's doing. Like, all these things that are just suddenly things, you know?
Yeah.
Like, trying to find, because Elastic sold out so many places and you can't buy it to make face masks. So, you know, here's how to do it using just two hair ties and a scarf. But then like the full size hair ties are sold out everywhere because of that too. So like,
here's how to do it with your own hair.
Tie your hair around your ears. That's what you can do once your hair grows out too much and you can't get a haircut.
And then there's like weird little like tangent trends like sourdough or sidewalk chalk. Chalk's really big right now.
Oh yeah.
Bigger than it's ever been.
Me, Will, and Elizabeth were walking when Elizabeth visited, because she can do that. We were just walking, and we saw, like, on the sidewalk, like, this, like, whole, like, obstacle course thing.
Oh, we saw that, too.
Yeah.
So cute. Mom took a picture of that.
Or, like, do hopscotch here, like, follow this line.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Spin around three times.
Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Yeah. Lots of sidewalks chalk, and just a lot of people walking around, which is... That part of it's a good thing, I guess. I don't know. It's such a strange time.
Apparently, another thing that people are doing during quarantine, and I'm not sure why I was so surprised about this, but Animal Crossing New Horizons, the newest one on Switch, it's already outsold all of the previous ones.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it's, I think, the second highest grossing March game. It's the second
March
highest
release.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
Like ever.
That makes sense.
That totally makes sense. So we've talked about that, I think, a couple times about how it's just the perfect game for
It's been selling like crazy.
Yeah.
Yep. It's very interesting. Yeah. I hope it's soon that we can look back at this and say that was strange, but who knows? Who knows what'll happen? Hmm. Hopefully this all gets under control really soon. Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I have a story from the world of science. Science!
All the drops.
Scientists have pinpointed the most dangerous place in the history of the Earth.
Oh, no.
Oh.
It is the month of April 2020. No, just joking. It's not actually it.
Black Plague?
It is 100 million years ago in an area in southern Morocco called the Kemkem Group. An international team of scientists led by paleontologist Nazir Ibrahim of the University of Detroit Mercy and the University of Portsmouth in the UK conducted a wide-ranging survey of the creatures and geology of an area in southeastern Morocco. This was arguably the most dangerous place in the history of planet Earth, a place where a human time traveler would not last very long, Ibrahim said in a University of Portsmouth release on Friday. Some of the largest predatory dinosaurs ever discovered once roamed the region. They published a paper on the Kemkem group findings in the journal called Zoo Keys. The University of Portsmouth called it the first detailed and fully illustrated account of a fossil-rich escarpment. Escarpment. I like that
escarpment.
Word.
Escarpment.
Yeah. The In the Cretaceous period, the area was home to rivers and packed with predators, ranging from massive land-bound dinosaurs to flying pterosaurs. They had an abundance of prey to feed on. The place was filled with absolutely enormous fish, including giant coelacanths and lungfish. Coelacanth is in Animal Crossing. That's how I know what a coelacanth is.
Me too.
I don't know what a coelacanth is.
You remember coelacanth? They were in the GameCube version of Animal Crossing. That was the best fish you could get. It was
I think it's also in New Horizons.
Is it? Yeah. It was only when it was raining, like at night, I think. And you could only get it from the ocean, and you pulled it out, and it was like a living fossil, because it's this weird prehistoric fish that was thought to be extinct, and then someone discovered one, like, in the wild.
Oh.
Totally. So the coelacanth, like, it's worth a whole bunch of bells in Animal Crossing. Mm. But they were common back then, the coelacanths and lungfish. What else does it say? It says that the land was filled with crocodile-like predators, hungry bipedal dinosaurs with shark-like teeth, and fish that would make an angler faint. It would have been a wonderful place to live if you were at the top of the food chain, but they say it's the most dangerous place. So if you ever invented a time machine, don't go back 100 million years ago to Moroccan place called the Kemkem Group.
Oh, at first when you said angler, I thought you meant angler fish.
No, like a fisherman, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. So that is a story from the CNET had it, I guess. But kind of a funny story.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to share their story?
Sure.
Oh.
Yeah, you go.
Okay, this one's actually kind of a crazy one. The headline is, student who grew her own canoe out of mushroom thinks fungus is her best ally in climate change. I feel like it's putting emphasis on the whole climate change thing, but not really putting enough emphasis on her growing her own canoe out of mushrooms.
A mushroom canoe is pretty impressive.
Yeah. Awesome, too.
A mushroom canoe is amazing.
Yes.
I don't know that I would trust getting in a canoe made of mushroom and paddling it around.
They could betray you.
You would definitely want to wear...
You might get, like, waterlogged and...
A life jacket.
Yeah.
For sure.
The fungus hive mind could betray you.
Yeah.
Do you think? I can just imagine it like growing over me, because funguses grow fast.
That's true. But the article says, an enterprising young Nebraska woman who recently, quote unquote, grew her own canoe out of mushroom has proven that the fungus is much more than just a dinner ingredient.
Although it's that too, right?
And honestly,
to grow that canoe.
Actually, in my opinion, it shouldn't be used in dinner.
I like mushrooms.
This is a much better
eat. Some of them are very tasty.
Especially grilled,
though.
Sometimes.
Depends on the kind. Some are nice and tender.
Anyway, delicious sometimes. Possibly.
Anyways, back to the article. While this may sound like the beginning of a fairy tale, it's actually just Katie Iyer's unique way of informing the public about the utility of fungi and mycelium. I think that's right. I think that's the correct pronunciation.
Sounds right.
She used this fascinating organism, which is neither plant nor bacteria nor animal, to create a hardened watertight vessel, which she fondly dubbed her my canoe, except it's spelled like mycelium and canoe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But apparently it's also her canoe.
Yes.
It is. It's both.
It's like My Little Pony canoe.
Mushrooms are here to help us. They're a gift, Iyer's told NBC. There's so much we can do with them beyond just food. It's so limitless. They're our biggest ally for helping the environment. The canoe is made of mycelium, the dense, fibrous underground material that links together the various fruiting parts. Which, those are just the mushrooms that we
So it's like when mushrooms pop up from underground, there's like something under the ground that connects them all.
And it's basically like... It works a lot like the internet, weirdly.
like a network?
I can't remember how I figured this out, but it's sort of like a hive mind, sort of like the internet.
Yeah.
It's like an information thing.
It is weird how, like, when you have, like, it rains for a whole bunch of days, like, in a row, suddenly mushrooms will just pop up out of the ground. You'll be like, whoa, mushrooms weren't here yesterday.
What if we could communicate with mushrooms by, like, connecting our phones to, like, a mycelium network, and then you get a text from that says, Hi.
It sounds like a sci-fi thing, like something that would be on Doctor Who or something like that.
But it also sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
The article says, since mycelium can bind and form around a given skeleton, Ayers managed to grow the canoe simply by letting the mycelium sculpt itself around the wireframe of a canoe.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It says, sitting in a special room with temperatures of 90 degrees Fahrenheit and 100% humidity, so a lot of humidity,
mm-hmm.
it took only 90 days for the mushrooms to cover the entire skeleton of the canoe. The mycanoe now weighs just 100 pounds after it was dried in the hot Nebraska summer sun. It also still fruits after it is taken out of the water, meaning it continually grows mushrooms and releases spores.
Crazy.
So, like, you could literally, this is like a survival movie. Like, all you have on a deserted island, or you're stuck at sea with just this mycanoe, and you can, like, pick off the mushrooms.
You can eat the mushrooms, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can, like, it's grow amazing. Its own hopefully mushroom, they're edible its own mushrooms. Food.
Because, you know, some mushrooms are poisonous.
And some are, yeah.
Huh.
But if they were edible, that'd be
yeah
amazing.
It would be, because they grow fast. That would be a very mm-hmm. fast growing food source.
I wonder if you could live on just mushrooms.
Maybe. For a while.
Like
for
and
a while.
Water.
There I aren't mean. Very many calories, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
Ayers started her project by reaching out to Nebraska Mushrooms' Ash Gordon, who offered her a summer internship after she received a small grant from her university in Columbus, Nebraska, to pursue a mushroom-oriented climate change solution.
Cool.
Okay, the main thing I think when I think of this is, like, what if sometime in the near or far future, like, all buildings are just going to be made out of mushrooms?
It seems like I saw a story about how they were talking about building, like, a moon base out of mushroom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you could just bring, like, a little piece of it and then grow it once you got to the moon. From so the you wouldn't have to bring, like, construction.
That and a wireframe, obviously.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have to bring, like, all the construction materials, which are, you know, it's really hard to bring heavy stuff up into space.
But yeah, what if the future of everything is just mushrooms?
They're lightweight and they're fast growing.
Somehow it seems a little bit like Mario World to me, though.
It also seems like maybe the setup for, like, a futuristic, scary horror movie.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Like,
the year the mushroom is 3152, gets a brain and it takes over. And the mushrooms rule the world.
Yes, yeah. The mushroom hive mind. The fungus hive mind.
We work for them. They eat us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We no longer eat mushrooms. They eat us.
And also the world. And now we are the buildings. Yeah. That's a good story, though. That's cool.
There's actually more to the story. I always have very big ideas, she said. So I see something, and it's small, and I just want to make it bigger and better. Since I'm from Nebraska, I love to fish. I've always wanted a boat. Why not just grow it?
That's pretty cool. That is really cool. That is an impressive feat that this woman pulled off.
There's also a bunch more in the article, but basically what you need to know is that it costed $500 for the tools and, like, just to build it. Hmm. But
that's not too bad for a boat, though, for a canoe.
Yeah.
It seems, especially one that you're inventing yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like in the future, instead of people using plastic because it's cheap, they'll just, like, everyone will just have, or, like, big companies will just, like, make everything out of mushrooms and they'll own, like, a ton of mushroom farms.
Yeah. Maybe. It could be.
Are mushroom farms a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. They are.
People grow them, especially, you know. Ones that you can use to eat.
Yep. So I have a news story.
It seems you do.
I do. A hotel worker runs full marathon through the halls.
We had a story a little bit like this about a month ago.
Yeah, that was the guy that ran a full marathon just back and forth on his little balcony.
On his balcony.
That's crazy.
I think running through the halls of a hotel seems more fun, though.
Oh, way more fun.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a nice-sized hotel. I think that would be really fun. So April 23rd, a British hotel worker is seeking Guinness World Records recognition after she ran the length of a full marathon through the halls of the closed business. Louise Casey, age 40, said the Premier Inn Warrington Central North in Warrington, England, has been closed due to the coronavirus pandemic, but she and a handful of other staff have still been coming in each night to maintain the facility. Casey, a member of the Witness Running Club, decided to run a marathon inside the hotel. She said it took her more than 300 laps to reach the 26.2-mile length of a full marathon.
Ooh, that's a lot of laps.
That is a lot of laps. And she finished her run with a time of 4 hours, 37 minutes. Because of the virus, a lot of people in the club are running around in circles in their gardens, Casey told the Warrington Guardian. I thought to myself I might try to run a marathon indoors at work. We're closed at the minute, but 6 of us are doing night shifts to man the building, she said. Instead of sitting there all night twiddling my thumbs, I ran a marathon. After that, I went and got showered.
So she did it while she was doing her shift?
Uh-huh.
That's impressive.
Yeah. After that, I went and got showered, put my uniform on, and carried on with the night shift. So first she ran a marathon, and then she did her shift. You'd have to be so crazy.
You have to be pretty tired, so tired at the end of your shift. Yeah.
Casey, whose run raised nearly $1,900 for the National Health Service in Great Ormond Street Hospital, said she's seeking a Guinness World Record for her accomplishment.
Impressive. And cool. She also did it for charity. That's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good. Good job.
I like it. Very good. Let's do a little bit of Would You Rather. So Would You Rather kind of combines two of the segments we sometimes do. It's sort of like a hypothetical, but it's also like an either or. So what I just said was only, oh yeah, either or. So got some would you rathers. Got my would you rather app open. This one seems pretty easy to me, but maybe it's worth discussing. Would you rather die in 12 hours or live to be 20,000 years old? Have we talked about the problems with near immortality before?
Yeah, we have. 20,000 years is a long time.
I don't want to die in 12 hours, though.
Yeah, that
would suck. I would go ahead and live the 20,000 years because I have no problem.
I think so.
Yeah, I'd rather not
die. I'm assuming I would be in good health.
You could learn
right
every
now.
Language.
That's
true.
You could, and
and you could get a Guinness World Record while you're at it.
Yeah. You could master everything on Duolingo. True.
Everything, maybe multiple times. I'm assuming for those 20,000 years, you'd be fully functioning.
Hopefully, you wouldn't be like the only human left by the time you die.
Ooh.
That would be weird.
No, that would be weird.
Yeah,
that would be really weird. But yeah, no, I'd go for that.
Yeah, I think I agree. Not surprisingly, 76% of users said 20,000 years. 24% said die in 12 hours. I got to wonder if they were just clicking that to get to another hypothetical, because that seems strange.
Or to another, or they might have just another, not really a hypothetical.
Well, it's a hypothetical, but technically it's a would you rather.
Yeah, I could.
Would you rather? Oh, this one seems really obvious to me too. Would you rather live next to a garbage dump or live next to a cemetery?
Cemetery,
for sure.
Easily. I like cemeteries. Cemeteries are nice places. Cemeteries are cool.
I mean, they're still a bit
most
sad.
Most cemeteries.
Really find them creepy. I think they're kind of nice.
Okay. Yeah. I have seen some creepy cemeteries before. But like most cemeteries, they're well kept. They're quiet.
They always smell like flowers.
Yeah. I would totally live next to a cemetery.
For some reason, I don't think of haunted places. When I think of haunted places, cemetery doesn't immediately come to mind.
Yeah, weirdly. Mm-hmm. I always think of a mansion. Ghosts,
they're not going to haunt the cemetery. They're going to haunt some place that has some connection to
them. Where they lived.
Because they didn't live in the cemetery.
But think about it. If they're already buried in the cemetery, then why would you just haunt the same place that you're already buried?
Yeah.
you could just stay
Also, why? Now, even if they just lived there, why would you haunt the place that you live? That seems a bit...
Yeah, that does kind of throw out the whole premise to the Graveyard Book.
Mm, that's fair.
Which is a really good book. But, I feel if you're going to haunt somewhere, it's not where your body is buried. It'll be maybe the house you lived in or someplace that's
meaningful
to you. Or
just some place that you're just I don't really like that place. Kind of sketch. I should haunt there.
Here's a question.
But you don't want to live next to a garbage dump just because of the smell.
Yeah. No, the smell would be, you couldn't escape that.
Although then again, you could get some cool stuff.
Question.
But also the smell.
The smell.
Question. So if you were going to haunt a house where you lived, which house would it be?
That's a good question.
The house of your childhood? The house of your middle years or
adulthood? If I was going to haunt
adulthood?
A house.
Your college dorm?
Only if I really hate the college dorm.
I mean, you could pick anywhere you lived.
Yeah.
If it's somewhere I dislike.
Where would you be most likely to hunt? Or like the nursing home where you lived when you were like really, really old?
I feel like the house where you live when you were a teenager is the one you always dream about.
For
is
me,
that
it's,
fair to say?
For me, it's not. For me, it's the house. Well, okay, no. The house that I lived in as a teen was the same. No, it's not. Okay. So my parents moved when I was like right before I turned 4. But I still, like for the longest time, I would still dream about the house that I lived when I was really, really little. Hmm. And
I had like a couple dreams about the house where I lived when I was like 4. But since I moved here when I was 5, it's always this house.
You dream of this house?
Do you still think of the house where you lived when you were 4?
Occasionally. I'll just think of
when
like...
you were little.
Oh, yeah. That was the layout of that house.
What's
funny... Because sometimes my memories will be like morphed to this house.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I mean, we lived in that house, the last house that we lived in, for a long time. But I never...
years.
I don't dream of it.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever dreamed of it.
I don't think I ever do either. Maybe I have before, but not very often.
I don't dream of this house really either. It's usually either the house that I lived in before I turned 4 or my grandma's house, my maternal grandma's house. I dream about that house a lot for some reason. And occasionally the house that my parents and family moved to, you know, right before I turned 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived there like clear up until I graduated from high school.
Hmm.
So I lived there the longest, probably out of any house.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where I would haunt, though, to get back to your original question. Maybe like, I don't know. Maybe this one. Maybe I would haunt this house.
It seems like you would haunt the place that you dream about, though, doesn't it?
Like that's the where you're like psychically connected to?
That's what I would think. Mm-hmm. That's what I would think.
That makes some sense.
But then I would be haunting like my grandma's house sometimes, and that would make no sense because I never lived there. I would only visit there. But it would be a good house for haunting, though, because it's got like a creepy cellar and an attic. It was like an older house, and I think it was built like in the 1890s or 1880s, maybe. Anyway.
Let's do one last one. I feel like this one applies more to Henry than it does to mom or dad. Would you rather go a year without music or a year without video games? I feel like I've gone a year without video games lately. I guess if that includes like games on your phone.
Oh, you're always on that.
Sometimes I do play games on my phone, but not like.
Does that include like passwords?
I feel like this is a bit obvious and it'd be video games because like you can't just go without music. Like that's.
I think it's less obvious for some people, but I think you're right. Like going without music would be really hard.
It, like that would make you just go insane almost.
Like I need, sometimes I feel like I need music to like rebalance myself. Yeah, that's true. You wouldn't be able to play music.
Sort of play guitar sometimes.
Yeah.
By the way, Cemetery was only, they were only like 53% said Cemetery over
that's
Living
Dead. That's so strange. Down.
Yeah, it was closer than
so
I would have
weird.
Expected.
But anyways, trees are great.
Anyways.
Only 55% said video games. 45% said go a year without music.
Well, that's
that
just
would be
more,
way harder for me.
Sometimes I encounter things that make me think, I guess we're unusual a little bit. Or like we're not as...
Don't most people listen to a lot of music though?
That's what I would think.
Yeah, but also it's 50%.
I would think almost everybody would pick that.
It's 55% who said video games, so that's technically a majority.
It's a majority, but it's a lot closer than I would have thought.
Closer than I would have thought.
For me, it's a no-brainer.
Maybe some people just really, really, really like video games or feel like, you know, that's how they...
Also, I always have a song stuck in my head. Like, I have a song stuck in my head right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the loss of change.
Happens to me a lot, too.
Yeah.
But I, like, constantly have a song stuck in my head, so that would be pretty hard.
It would be pretty hard. Yeah. All right, well, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
3 words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Oh, hello, William. I accidentally did a really strange voice.
I love how whenever there's treat yourself, like somehow whoever's not participating in the podcast comes running from whatever corner of the house
they're
in.
Treat yourself is just the best.
Yeah.
So William is here for treat yourself.
While you guys are podcasting, I discovered the whole bunch of weird filters in electronic music, so I was just, like, jamming in the background.
We have, nice. We mentioned earlier that today we went to Trader Joe's. First time I've been in Trader Joe's since the pandemic began. Trader Joe's is a pretty fun grocery store. It's sort of like a grocery store, but it's also like just a haven for like treats. There are so many treats in Trader Joe's.
Yeah, and actually a lot of rip-off treats too, and, but mostly weird treats.
And like pre-prepared food. So I got three different kinds of sandwich cookies from Trader Joe's. We've got Trader Joe's oat and Greek yogurt sandwich cookies. It's like oatmeal cookies with yogurt filling, I guess. We've got Trader Joe's maple leaf cookies. It's got a smooth and flavorful maple cream filling. And we got cookie butter sandwich cookies. These all look really good. Mm-hmm. I will be somewhat disappointed if these aren't all delicious.
They've got to be good, right?
But you never know. Sometimes treat yourself can pull a fast one on you.
But
all right. Which one do you want to try first? Any thoughts?
The one that's on top.
Yeah, I was about to say. Okay. That one was on top anyways. So.
I'm really excited about all of these.
And Greek yogurt sandwich cookies. I feel like we might have to put these in a Ziploc bag after we open these because we're not going to eat all three boxes tonight. Okay, so let's try the oat and Greek yogurt sandwich cookies first.
It would be easier to say if they would say oatmeal and Greek yogurt, because oat and Greek yogurt is just,
oat and these are kind of huge. Yogurt. There's only like 9 in a box. They're kind of big. But I'll pass them around. What do you guys think?
That was surprising.
Yeah.
It was. Surprising in what direction? Good.
Okay, so usually oatmeal cookies are kind of dense and chewy, or if they're like hard, like dry cookies, like from the grocery, like from, you know, from a box, usually they're still kind of dense. These are crumbly, almost like shortbread, or like, just like shortbread. They're like oat shortbread.
The cream tastes a bit raisiny, weirdly.
Kind of almost light and fluffy, although fluffy is not the right.
Yeah. The cream is like just the whipped shortening that you find.
But it's really tangy.
It's very tangy. Weird. It's like yogurt flavored sweet shortening, which is like Oreo filling or something. Like
it's weird. It's really good, but not like in a way that I would have expected.
No.
So what are you guys rating it?
I'll give it a delicious, but that's
yum,
surprising.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I think I agree.
I like them. I think they're delicious.
I like them.
They're
yummy. I'm still kind of taken aback because they were so not what I expected.
But they're
good.
We like them.
But I love a shortbread too.
It's like being told that you're going to watch like a sci-fi action movie and then seeing 2001. It's like good, but it's not what you expected.
All right. Let's try maple leaf cookies. These look good. I like it that they look like maple leaves.
They're cute. They're cute little cookies.
Very attractive. Again, I'll be very surprised if I don't like these, but pass them around. We'll check them out.
If we were going to have a Canada party, this is what I would get for it.
Yeah, totally.
Thoughts about maple leaf cookies?
Good.
They're pretty much exactly what you expect them to be. Yeah. They taste more like a traditional cookie, sandwich cookie.
An ordinary run-of-the-mill sandwich cookie, but a little maple-y.
With a really good maple filling.
I
think they're delicious.
Yeah.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Go ahead, Will.
Thank you. I think they have the texture of like an IKEA sandwich cookie, but they have the taste kind of like beaver nuggets from Bucky's.
Yeah, weirdly.
Oh, yeah. Beaver nuggets are kind of maple-y.
Beaver nuggets.
They're really good.
From
it's
Texas.
Regional. Yeah.
They're like, they kind of taste like caramel popcorn, but like kind of maple-y.
They're really yeah. Good. They're pretty
to
good.
To me, this tastes just like the Mother's brand taffy sandwich cookies. You know those?
What I'm talking know if about? I do know those.
They're just like vanilla sandwich cookies. They have that exact same texture. They're just mildly...
Taffy dulce de leche?
I think I know what you mean.
Dulce de leche is a different flavor of them. But they have just the vanilla.
I don't
like
know if
normal.
I know those. I don't know if I've had those.
It occurred to me as I had
You've had the Mother's cookies before. Just the vanilla sandwich cookies.
It occurred to me as I had this that like there aren't that many maple cookies. Especially maple sandwich cookies.
That's true.
But I really liked it.
That's good. I like it. Hard to argue with. Pretty tasty.
Yeah.
And the last one, and these are probably the ones I'm most I have the highest hopes for. These are the cookie butter sandwich cookies. So Trader Joe's has really good cookie butter. It's that Speculoos cookie butter.
These had better be good.
So I guess that's what they have in between these cookies. Let's try them out and see what we think of them.
Are they Speculoos cookies with Speculoos cookie butter, or are they just normal cookies?
I think they're just like a shortbread cookie with Speculoos in the middle. Let's try it. Mm. I'll tell you one thing. I have now reached, I think, my sweet. Mm-hmm. I'm like completely sweeted out.
Yeah, weirdly, yeah. I am too. Yeah.
One thing I noticed, I only took a bite of the other ones. This one, I ate the whole thing without even thinking about
that
it.
That was so good. You know what?
I stopped myself before eating the whole thing.
I predict that mom likes these.
You know, I don't think it would be that much of a hot take to say that pretty much all three of these cookies are like as good as they can be.
I have a quibble. I have a quibble.
Honestly, I feel like the
mom has a hot
these tip. Are definitely the best. The cookie butter ones
they are
the best.
Really good. They're really good.
Then the oatmeal, then the Canada ones, yeah. Maple ones.
Mom, what is your hot take?
So my hot take, my first bite, I was like, oh, good. It is shortbread because I love shortbread. I love like the texture of shortbread.
Oh, no.
But then I had like a second bite because I was like, oh, this is so good. But then I realized I can't really taste the cookie butter. And the cookie butter is preventing me from tasting the butteriness of the shortbread. I feel like...
Wait, what? I thought you said you can taste the cookie butter.
I can't really.
It does seem like a paradox.
It is. It is. No. I'm not. I'm saying these are so delicious. They are. But I love both of these things. And together, I feel like... They don't do that much for each other.
So you would rather have them separately?
In my opinion, yeah, it doesn't say enough about our society.
I would rather have a cookie butter sandwich cookie with like two like the gingery Speculoos cookies. Then you just have like more of the goodness on the inside, but like the creamy texture of that to go with the same flavor. And nothing's like canceling itself out.
Okay.
And I really, part of the reason that I love... a shortbread cookie is the texture, but the other reason is for just that butter flavor of just like this cookie that's mostly butter with just like enough sugar to hold it together and not a lot of other flavor there. And you can't really taste the butteriness of it. The texture is still fantastic and the taste isn't bad. I just feel like somehow those two flavors compete a little too much for me, or they kind of mask each other. The good parts.
Hey, I just think they're delicious.
They are delicious. They are delicious.
I hate to say it.
But it makes me like, at first I thought this was going to be like my holy grail, like wonder cookie. And it's not.
But you can't say you don't like them, right?
No, and I will definitely finish this cookie. I'm looking at it and thinking about how good it is at the same time thinking how I'm kind of disappointed. And it's just weird.
Mom, I think you might be overanalyzing this cookie from Trader Joe's.
It's only because it's two things that butter. I love. It's two things that I love so much.
Don't worry. She's a professional cookie eater. She's actually a certified professional cookie critic.
I should be a cookie critic.
I think part of this episode's title is going to be Mom the Cookie Critic.
We went to cook school.
I might as well have. I feel like, honestly, like I could be a cookie critic because I have much
experience. So I thought these were all delicious, and I agree with Henry's rankings. I think that the cookie butter sandwich cookies are the best. The oat and Greek yogurt ones are the second best, and the maple leaf ones are the third best, even though those are really good, too.
I think the maples are in the middle. I think they're all great. Honestly, these last few treat yourselves have been so sugary, but
yeah.
I'm not complaining.
These cookies are really good. We're gonna have to put these in a Ziploc bag and like stretch them out over the next.
We will ration them.
I feel like you could absentmindedly like eat a whole box of these, and it would not be good for you.
I don't know. I feel like I could get delicious. I could get into like one or two of these, and after that, I'd have to stop.
Yeah,
it's pretty sweet.
They're sandwich cookies, so they're sweeter than. Like, normally, one of the reasons I like shortbread cookies is because they're rich, but they're not super, super sweet.
I can see.
So you can eat more of them before you start to feel ill, even though you shouldn't eat more of them. Anyway.
I can see Mom
but yeah.
getting into them being like, should I have the the oatmeal ones or the cookie butter ones.
You know what I'm tempted to do with the cookie butter?
I prefer true cookies.
You know what I am tempted to do with the cookie butter ones, honestly, is
tear them apart.
Separately. Eat the middle. Okay. Which I never do with, like I frog. Never do that with Oreos.
Well,
ever.
I mean, doing that's a bit of a sin, but I still do.
A lot of people do it with Oreos. It's
and then
common.
Eat the and then eat the shortbread separately.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Yeah.
No. I don't know.
The maple ones just need to be dunked.
Usually, especially with Oreos, like sandwich cookies or just cookies in general, will have like a pretty low serving size. But like these, the cookie butter ones, like I feel like I don't know what their serving size is, but I'm pretty sure it's more than half of a cookie. And I feel like that's too much.
It does feel like you're eating about a stick of butter with each of these cookies.
I could deconstruct and analyze these cookies for hours, and I don't know what's going on.
I think any of these would be good dunked in milk, though.
Yeah, this would be great.
Yeah.
Dunked in milk.
Which one?
The one that's not right here. The maple.
Are you looking at the servings?
I am. So the serving size for the maple leaf cookies is one.
The serving size is one.
The serving size for the oat and Greek yogurt sandwich cookies, which are really big, is one. And the serving size for the cookie butter cookies are two.
I have met absolutely none of these.
It's always disappointing when, like, on the front of the package and it says, like, calories 100, and then you look at the serving size, it's like 3.5. You're like, okay, so, like, me and 2.5 other people are going to eat this, and we'll each have 100 calories.
We have an announcement to make.
It's the microwave popcorn problem. You need 2.5 friends to help you eat the microwave popcorn.
Yes.
We are now changing this podcast to Talk to Dad About Cookies podcast. just going to talk about cookies.
We're making a spinoff called Talk to Mom About Cookies.
Treat yourself. And it's a cookies treat yourself. And that was Treat Yourself.
Okay.
That is our podcast. So thanks, Mom and Henry, for being on the podcast. Thanks, William, for joining us for Treat Yourself. And thank you especially to anyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com if you want to email us. You can also find us at talktodadpodcast at Facebook or Instagram. And at talktodadpodcast.com where you can stream and download all of our episodes from 1 to 197. If you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend. And two, you can leave us a 5-star review. If you subscribe, rate, and review us anywhere you found the podcast, that helps other people hopefully be able to find the podcast as well. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for later, alligator, long.